This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, it's groovy.
Is a douchebag, you bend a coworker. You feel like kind of a jerk, 'cause you ghosted an ex and matched with them on Tinder. You think that everything's fucked, there's no need to worry when something goes wrong. 'Cause when you shit out of luck, there's only one podcast that you can count on.
The song's getting better.
I think we're getting worse, and so the songs feel better.
Juxtaposition. Yeah, the proximity to us.
Yeah. That musically, totally. We're just becoming dumber.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Pretty good song.
Is that an OG, or is it a cover?
It's a Death Cab parody.
That's the reason why I liked it so much.
Because deep in your bones, your DNA, you had to have liked it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was that opening riff. There was a moment during that opening riff where I was like, I hope no one ever sings.
Wow.
I just want to be in this fucking moment. That's and just really cool. Coast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So do the podcast or just like hear it.
I want to quit the show. I don't want to be with you anymore. And I want to just be out there on my own, coasting, ghosting your sorry ass. I quit. I'm done. We're finished. Finito. Bye bye. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just mellow. I'm just fucking coasting.
Sorry. It sounds like you're quitting, but then it's like it keeps slinking
I can't quit because I need this financially. But in that moment, I was like just envisioning a future where I didn't have to be with or around or near or together with you. But let's have a good show. Let's have fun.
It's hard for me to shake that, but yeah, this guy's name is John.
John? Pleasure doing business with you, John. Nice.
He runs a music studio.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God.
Come on, John.
I had no idea that would happen. He teaches guitar and bass outside of Philly, and I watched Jake and Amir on College Humor throughout high school and college, but only found out about the podcast a year ago.
What?
Yeah. I've wanting to send in a theme song for a while, and I could never find the right idea, but as soon as I noticed the upsetting lack of Death Cab parodies, that made my decision for me. Hope you guys dig the song, and muchas gracias if you can plug my music at realnumberspa. deathcab.bandcamp.com.
Very, very cool. I actually listened to Death Cab for Cutie recently when I was in Dallas. Mm-hmm. I went on a run. I was going to save this for unsolicited advice, but I've been doing like these nostalgic runs.
I see. So where you choose an era of your life.
Yeah. Where like just listen to Guster. Or I'll listen to Blink 182. Right. I'll listen to Death Cab for Cutie.
Right.
And it's really nice.
Because you're running, but you're listening to songs that you did in 2004.
Yeah, nothing gives me more energy than an old song I used to love that just makes me like think about a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What songs do you think you'll be listening to in 20 years about this year?
Oh.
Like a COVID song that you just want to like go back to the lockdown.
That like celebrity cover of Imagine.
Oh, that's really dope. So it's Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot.
Yeah,
singing
sort
Imagine.
Sort of put it on your iPad.
Yeah.
iPod, yeah.
I'm just back.
Yeah. Bring that me back to lockdown.
Rhythm of the Rice.
By Jeffrey James, yeah. Who's now Vice President of America in 2042, if you can imagine.
Oh my God.
He's working directly under President Musk.
Trusk Musk.
Thanks, dude, says John. Thank you, John. John Erickson, shout out. John. Wow, this guy's looks like he has a few kids in his profile picture.
Really? Nice.
Jesus.
I'm actually in the market for more godchildren.
Really?
Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm just zooming in on his Google profile. In? Yep. I'm through and I'm on his LinkedIn.
Okay. Well, we have a show to host.
Holy shit, he runs a catering business.
Online stalk him right now.
John, how the hell are you?
You're going to dox him on
our
show?
Not dox him, but his email is, we could leave this out later, right?
You're swatting him.
all right, this is If I Were You, the only advice pod on the web, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
We are in the studio again.
Live in the studio. Casey's got his mic on, so if you're hearing laughter in there, that's because I asked for it.
That's good. So it's
it's like a live studio audience, but it's
a laugh track.
Yeah, but it's just Casey.
Right. So if he finds something funny, people will know to laugh along
right.
with it.
Yeah, exactly.
But if something's funny and it's not his cup of tea, it'll be silent.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like that just now. Oh, but there he goes.
I can laugh too, by the way.
This is just going to be a me reacting to Casey's laugh. Got him. Got him again.
And I laugh to your laughter, and so it creates this positive feedback loop of laughter. Let's see here. We got some real questions from real people. Just got to give them some fake names and answer these fucking sticky-ass situations.
Great.
Here's one that was fascinating to me. Mm. My roommate's parents have taken over our apartment.
Whoa. That sucks. That sucks.
Tim Allen writes, oh, actually, it's a lady. Do you remember
Tina Allen?
Oh, his wife on the show?
No. I don't even remember the kid's name. It was Randy. Randy was one of them?
Yeah, Randy.
Yeah, Randy was
JTT was one.
Yeah, JTT. But what was his name? Well, his name was Randy, wasn't it? No, Randy was the older one.
Yeah.
For some reason, I remember all of their actual... Zachary Ty Bryan was Randy.
Yeah.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas was Sandy.
Yeah, I forgot they rhymed their names.
Taylor Noah Smith, Dandy.
Tara?
Taryn.
Taryn. Yeah, I think it was Taryn.
Taryn Noah Smith.
I think we talked about this before, but it seemed like the actor went through a goth phase and they wrote it into the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That was just on him.
The mom was Patricia Richardson, I feel, but I don't know her character name.
The character name was Jill Taylor.
Jill Taylor. Wow. Did you know that? Or you looked it up?
I looked it up.
Is Patricia Richardson correct?
Yep.
Can you tell us the name of all the children on the show?
There's Randy.
There's Randy.
One second.
Yeah, take your time. This is important.
We want to make sure we get it.
Randy. It was JTT.
Randy was JTT.
Randy was JTT?
Yep.
Wow.
Brian?
Okay.
Was Brian the oldest one?
Brad.
Brad. Yeah, Brad.
That was Zachary Ty Bryan.
Bryan, yeah.
And the youngest was Mark.
Mark.
Oh, I would never have guessed that.
It's Tim, Jill, Brad, Randy, and Mark.
Mark? Why is there a 58-year-old living with us inside of this goth tween's body?
Mark!
You could tell that kid is not an actor anymore. Quite frankly, he peaked at 9.
Yeah.
Taryn is not like going off to do bigger, better things.
You didn't have it. Okay.
Oh, wow. He's a really famous music video producer.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes sense. I'm sure he's talented.
He's a multi-hyphenate.
I'm sure he's talented. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. He went on to work with Marilyn Manson. I'll look up what Taron Noah Smith is up to nowadays. Wow. He's older than you.
Really?
Want to feel old?
Taron
Noah
Smith is 100.
Smith is 38.
38? Wow. He's your age. No, you're older than him.
Yeah. All right. I'll read all about this soon. But just know that he's a vegan.
He is a vegan?
He is a vegan.
Yeah. He did that. He had that energy when he was going through his goth phase.
Wow. Smith teaches people how to pilot submarines.
Whoa. Imagine that when you're just on a submarine and the guy between you and fucking oblivion, the bottom of the ocean, is Taron Noah Smith.
Mark.
Mark Taylor himself.
How the hell are you? Were you in Down Periscope, sir?
Man.
Long-time listener, first-time emailer, right?
Doesn't Ryder Strong follow you or listen to the podcast? You met him, right?
Yeah, I met him once.
Sean. But he knew who you were.
He was also a pilot on a submarine.
Really?
What the fuck is going on here? Wow.
Shout out to Ryder Strong.
Don't ever meet your heroes because they'll all sort of enlist your work in the Navy, it seems.
You served with Strong.
I use my ride or die. A few weeks ago, my roommate, writes Jill Taylor, let me know that her parents were visiting town soon. We share a small two-bedroom, one bath. There's not a ton of extra space and only the one bathroom and a couple cool cats running around. So I assumed her parents would be getting a hotel or Airbnb. A few days ago, she mentioned that she'd be sleeping on the couch. I was confused. Then it clicked. Her parents were going to stay with us. Later that day, they arrived and have been camped out of our place for the last 3 days. They seem like lovely people, but I'm really disliking sharing a bathroom with a couple in their 60s who I never met, especially sharing the only bathroom we have. I don't know. I've been spending as little time in the apartment as possible. Thankfully, I don't work from home, so I just go to the gym every day, so that takes a lot of the time. Her parents are leaving tomorrow, but I'm wondering if I should mention my concerns to her once they're gone. I'd prefer them not to stay with us if they ever visit again. Am I being unreasonable? Is this totally normal? Or was I right in thinking it's weird? I'm 25, my roommate is 30, and we live in an apartment complex in Nashville. We met online, live together well, but aren't really friends.
Oh, I see. I see. It's complicated. I think it's not unreasonable to not like it. I don't think you necessarily need to say anything because I bet your roommate also didn't like it.
Right.
But like parents aren't going to visit more than like once a year or something like that.
It's in play.
Yeah. You think it's going to be, they're going to come here once a month and stay for 4 days.
Not once a month, but like, yeah, they're coming back this summer.
Yeah. But then it's only a few days. Yeah. I think that's not, it's not that bad.
Yeah. So like, because it was a finite amount of time. I mean, yeah. I would have liked a heads up, of course.
Yeah, the heads up is nice. The heads up is nice. I think that your roommate probably didn't give you a heads up because he knows it's an inconvenience and knows that it's annoying. So for that reason, if he's otherwise reasonable, I bet he's trying to limit your exposure to his parents.
Yeah.
And if this was the first time, I bet it didn't go well for him either. He slept on the couch for 4 days.
Maybe
he probably doesn't love it. Oh, yeah, she, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Either way. I still wouldn't say anything. People are sensitive about their families. I think it's weird. If somebody was like, if I did this and somebody's like, I don't like when your parents stay here, I'd be like, fuck you. It's my mom and dad. I love them. I love them so much. You come at my family. You're not fucking living with me anymore. I'll live with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least I'll have to pay rent. Really? Then my dad will live here and I'll move out. Then I'll visit him. You're really good at having a fucking problem with his daughter visiting.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I think it's fine.
You think it's fine or you think it's not great, but bringing anything up would be a little weird?
I think it's inconsequential.
Inconsequential? Sharing a bathroom?
For 3 days out of your life where you were able to not be there most of the time.
Yeah, able to not be there because she didn't want to be there, not because she happened to not be there.
Yeah, but like that just, it happens when you have roommates. People visit.
It's kind of weird. I had a two-bedroom, one bath, remember, in New York, my first place.
Yeah, but your two-bedroom, one bath was especially, I mean, if
there somebody was no living room.
Yeah, there's no living room. It was just a kitchen and two bedrooms.
Right.
Yeah.
But if my roommate had his parents stay there and then he slept in the kitchen,
Yeah.
That would be kind of weird.
That'd be kind of weird. But if it was like, they're coming into town, they're only going to be here for 3 days.
I would have liked a heads up.
Yeah, a heads up. But you can, I don't think you can say anything.
Retroactively, you can't be like, by the way, I would have liked a heads up.
Maybe, by the way, I would have liked a heads up. Let me know when they're coming next time. Not, I didn't enjoy them being here, and that can't happen again.
Just going forward, know that they're not welcome.
Yeah, if you're going to have guests for multiple days, let me know. And I think that's kind of the most you can say.
Whether it's your parents or not. Yeah.
And how you can get them back is to invite your parents for a week.
That's really good. And grandparents.
Yes, that's
Willy
right.
Wonka the fucking place. Just have fucking parents and grandparents everywhere. Yeah. She can't even open a closet or a cupboard without finding a relative.
An uncle,
yours.
An aunt.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. A nephew.
Like a little rat scurrying across the floor.
On the ceiling.
Who is that? It's my fucking cousin.
Shoo! He's possessed by a demon.
With a broom. Get out. Can you open the
back
window?
Back into the crawl space. Back under the stairs with you.
I'm scared to be here.
I have to share a bathroom with that imp.
A Gollum-style great aunt who's staying underneath the bathroom sink.
My Uncle Schmeagle.
That's almost my middle name.
That's true.
So that was kind of offensive to me.
Wasn't really.
It felt anti-Semitic.
Of course it wasn't. It's fucking.
I know it wasn't, but it felt like that to me. And I
you're
felt
being
like
too
you
sensitive. You're dealing with other shit right now.
Now you're telling me how to feel.
Okay.
Do you realize why that's not okay?
Why do you realize why that's also anti-Semitic?
Everything you say is sort of left of center / skews anti-Jew right now. And I urge you to take a break and reconsider.
Please. Please, let's take a break.
Okay. I think we'll all do some soul searching.
Good.
And I'll do some Taryn and Noah Smith searching.
Good.
Oh, he's dead.
Yeah, Zachary Ty Bryan. Rest in peace.
All right, let's take a break. Thanks to sponsors and come back on the other side of these messages.
Yeah.
Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp. This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's auraframes.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we are back. Jake, did you have...
Oh, it's a lesson of the fight. Mom, I'm coming.
It's those nostalgic runs. Yeah, the nostalgic runs. You should do one to Weezer. You'd really enjoy that.
So have you been alive long enough to have multiple nostalgic periods? Like, is there a pre-death cab / Blink-182 and a post and yeah, still I think nostalgic?
It's like the high school. Mm-hmm. The high school phase, so yeah. That's like the Blink 182, the Third Eye Blind,
yeah.
That kind of
pop
vibe.
Punk, yeah.
Yeah, and then the college and post college, which I guess is more the
New York City,
yeah, the but, Death Cab, the Rilo Kiley.
I see. So yeah. It's more chill and mellow, mm-hmm. And that brings you all the way to basically now.
Yeah, I bet I probably could have some like Drake nostalgia,
right? Because it's been like 10 years now.
Yeah, since the first Drake album that I listened to,
right. Mm-hmm. Like the road trip to L.A. era hip hop.
Yeah. Yeah. Man of the Year.
Right. Exactly.
That song. It's a great song.
Yeah. It's like when you turn on the oldies now and there's songs from like the 90s on there and you're like, wait a minute, these aren't oldies. But
right.
In actuality, they are 35-year-old songs.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I could do a Weezer. I could do a Weezer run. I could do a Blues Traveler
/Blues Traveler.
Hootie and the Blowfish style. Early yeah. 90s.
The next level is creating the playlist because right now I just do like Guster Radio and
right.
I just run.
But
right.
Like some you can of those do are like for every year.
Yeah. Yeah. I could sit down and clean up my Spotify. That's my unsolicited advice.
When
clean
I
up
say
your Spotify.
When I say TRL, Total Request Live,
yeah.
What was the biggest show for teenagers in the late 90s? What songs do you think of? TRL, what's like word association?
I guess it's like Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, yeah. NSYNC. I feel like there was that like battle for like the boy bands.
Yeah, like which one like gets the number one spot.
But I also remember like when punk would like creep up onto there, I was really excited.
Oh, like what?
Like I think Blink-182 performed on yeah. TRL. They did rock show.
That's cool. And it was always like when they were on, they would get the number one song.
Right.
That's
yeah.
Such a cool coincidence the way that worked out that way.
That's right. Though yeah. You're the most requested today.
Yes, exactly. Like when Tom Green showed up, hoping to God that his song, the
Bum Bum
song, was number one.
And that's your nostalgic run.
It?
My bum is on your lips. My bum... Oh wait, that's Eminem.
No, that. Okay. Is yeah. That Eminem? No,
my bum is on your lips. My bum is on your lips. And if you're lucky, I might just give it a little kiss or something.
But he's quoting Tom Green because I think that line's also in the Bum Bum song.
I don't think it is. My bum is on your lips.
My bum is on your lips. Look at me. My bum is on your lips.
I don't know. Is it on the lips of the song? My bum is on the ship. The battleship.
Y'all don't get how important that song was.
My bum is on the Swedish. Swedish.
I can already feel like my parents... rolling their eyes at me watching this song. Like, this is really good.
This song's really funny.
He's going to put his ass on a loon. Dad, where
my
are you
bum
going?
Is all alone. This is the part where it gets a little sad. But don't worry.
Talking to a fucking a babysitter that's making out with someone else. Your hand is yeah. In a light socket. She's barely paying attention. The Swedish is all alone.
Yeah.
Woo! actually, let's call it out. We want a Bum Bum song, If I Were You Show parody.
I like that a lot. Yeah. I like that a lot.
His ass was on a bunch
it's
of
on a bunch
things,
of different stuff.
Basically.
Yeah.
Holding a mirror to society, as it were.
That's correct.
Taron Noah Smith gained control of his $1.5 million trust fund at age 18 when he accused his parents of squandering by purchasing a mansion for themselves.
That's not necessarily squandering.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it squandering to buy a mansion.
Yeah, I wonder
it's
what the rules
like
are.
It's kind of parking it in
you
real
drive
estate.
A fucking 11-year-old to an audition and he books it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you should have access to that money.
Yeah.
That was your money.
I mean, but he's doing the work. He's on set. I mean, it depends what you're doing. If you're actually supportive or if you're kind of like that, that showbiz parent.
Yeah.
It's just like pushing him to do something he doesn't want to do. Then
right.
He's cast on a show.
You know,
he
no kid
like
wants
it.
To really yeah. do that. Like, At age 9, you don't know what you want to do. You're just getting shuffled to places by your parents.
But I mean, there are children that want to be actors. They just don't necessarily know all that it entails, I think, when they make the decision.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'll just be on set for a few days. Actually, it'll be like 2nd through 12th grade.
Yeah, I think you like learn in retrospect, like, wow, I was working since I was 9.
Yeah, that is kind of
crazy.
Weird. Yeah. There's like child labor laws, but I guess if you're an actor, that they don't apply.
No, I think they still do. Like SAG has stuff where, like, you know, they can't be on set for a certain amount of time. They have to have like school
teachers,
while you're there.
Yeah.
So there's like,
but at the same time, like, you couldn't at age 9 work at the Gap, but you could star in a movie.
Right. Definitely. You can earn money and have a job as, I mean, there are babies on set, but there's also, I saw a baby at Old Navy once. I don't know if
there's no,
I don't know
she
if she was working
clothes.
Or if she was just there
working.
With her mom.
She was not working.
Yeah.
There's no way. A baby?
Right? I don't think so.
I saw a 4-year-old pumping gas at a 76. It was seemingly illegal, but ultimately fine.
Yeah.
It must be weird to be like the parent of a 5-year-old and like you're making $2,100 a month and the kid's making like $8,000 a month.
Yeah.
They don't know what that is.
The kid's
is.
Getting residuals.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that is. I mean, if he gained access to a trust fund, then it sounds like they had a trust fund for him, which is good.
Yeah, is that the?
I'm not going to take Taryn Noah Smith's parents' side, but he also seemed like a problematic child. Look at the goth face.
You're fucking their parents' lawyer.
I think you just get, but you do like you have a contentious relationship with your parents when you're a teenager, but then you add that. You add to that the element that they have millions of your dollars.
Yeah. That, it must be weird when you're 17.
Yeah,
still don't have access.
It's a pressure
to cash.
Cooker of a situation.
Yeah. I think I can come home after midnight, Mom.
Yeah.
You bought a house with the money that I used for my
I day. Earn cash for you.
I put food on this table, Mother, for us.
I remember that with my bar mitzvah money.
Yes, exactly.
It's bar like, that's my money. I learned my half Torah.
Yeah.
And they,
that was work.
Right. That was work, technically, though the party was entirely paid for by my parents.
Yeah.
I think they definitely came out in the red.
But I still want that money.
That's my $8,000, Dad.
I remember somebody gave me like 2 shares of Nabisco stock for my bar mitzvah and like at age 13.
Yeah, and now you're a multimillionaire, right?
I'm a billionaire.
That stock is split 48 times.
Technically, I'm a majority shareholder in Nabisco Co. So I'm the CEO of Pepsi.
Yeah, incredible.
Kraft.
Incredible. I mean, my God, for your bar mitzvah.
And I was so bored by that gift at the time.
Yeah.
To have a sheet of paper say I own 2 shares of Nabisco.
I remember, I think we did put a bunch of my bar mitzvah money into the stock market.
Wow.
And I was really excited. It was like that, you know, in school when you like look at the pay, you like play the stock market, you like buy fake shares and stuff to like learn how it works. It was around that time or like a few years after that. And I was very excited. I would like look online and be like, I made $200 today in the stock market.
That's cool.
And then I lost it all.
You actually lost it all to Bernie Madoff. At age 14, you took a pretty substantial loan and gave it all to Bernie.
I borrowed against that money also.
So I leveraged my bar mitzvah cash and sort of pump and dumped it into a Ponzi scheme. I spent my high school years in debtor's prison.
I tried to have another bar mitzvah as a 22-year-old.
Sort of.
But my uncle, the well had gone dry. My uncles weren't writing checks for $68 anymore. Is 68 one of those lucky numbers?
No, multiples of 18.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My bar mitzvah theme was Enron. Do you realize how fucked up that is? It was too big to fail. I submarined my entire community. Here's an interesting one.
Okay.
This guy's girlfriend has revealing Instagram photos, actually.
I'd like to see the Instagram. Is it linked? Is it linked?
No. I'm a 21-year-old male from New York, and my girlfriend and I have been together for 5 months, and I have a problem with her. I have a problem with her Instagram. She has a lot of revealing Instagram photos up, and it makes me uncomfortable. I don't like the fact that she has these photos up for everyone to see, although her Instagram is private.
Oh.
She pretty much accepts all who follow request her and doesn't know, even if she doesn't know the person. Excuse me. I'm so sick to my stomach thinking of these photos. I understand that the photos she put up were from when she was single, and maybe she and maybe she used them to get attention. This guy sucks. And maybe she used them to get attention from guys like me. But now that she's in a relationship, I would like her to be a little more reserved. It worked. You got me. Now take the photos down, sweetheart. I want to ask her to take these photos down, but I don't know if that's too much of an ask. I definitely don't want my family to see these, let alone other random people. Any advice is much appreciated.
Oh, man. I get over it. Get over it, right?
Well, can he say that it makes me uncomfortable?
I don't know, man. It's somebody else's online presence. You can't step on that.
Yeah, especially because she's not going to be with you forever because you're kind of a dickling.
So, that's like, true.
You wanted to take down the photos and then just repost them in a few weeks.
You liked her for who she was before, right?
Yeah.
So keep on doing that.
Keep on keeping
you
on.
You liked the photos once. You liked them a lot.
Yeah.
And now you're with her and you don't like the photos. It's a little hypocritical. Is there just photos.
Is there an insecurity there? Like, I don't want her to meet somebody that's like better than me a little bit.
Or just, I mean, I think there's like, it's protective. I know that I did also feel like this at 21. I'm a lot more laissez-faire now.
Right.
But yeah, I think it ultimately doesn't matter. It's like, oh, that's my girlfriend. No one should see her cleavage but me.
Yeah, then it's like, okay, so where do you draw the line? If I go to a pool party, can I not wear my bathing suit because yeah,
you can wear it with a sarong.
Is that sarong to ask?
That's sarong to ask.
Nice. Just a baggy white tee.
Don't get it wet.
Meanwhile, he's in a fucking Speedo with a vicious V.
A banana hammock.
Borat style. Everyone's looking at him. He's the life of the party.
Yeah, I think that it's just not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. And I think also if you... It's a slippery slope because if you try to do this, I think you're going to end up encouraging the behavior that you actually don't want.
Yeah, you don't
it's
want
as bad
to
as it is
you.
Without you interfering.
Right.
But if you start being like, don't post these photos, she'd be like, I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to, you know, then the photos get worse. Then she kind of does it to assert herself over you, which she would be in the right to do.
I mean, you're obviously attracted to her and she's, you know, putting these photos up, getting compliments about it. She's also, you know, looking for whatever validation and joy she gets from that too. So in theory, you guys are on the same page there.
I think the healthiest thing to do is, if it's really gnawing at you, is to mute her on Instagram.
Wow.
And you just won't even see it.
She's private too.
She's private. I think it's fine.
Why go private, I wonder, if you're posting sexy photos? Like, don't you want more people to see that?
Or you want more dedicated followers. So you make it private, and then the people that are looking actually have to let you know they're looking.
That's good.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm going to post.
No lurkers.
Yeah. That way, like, it forces everyone who wants to see the photos
to
but pay
also,
the
who
toll
knows?
And the
I don't think,
being
like,
a follower.
When I post on Instagram, it's not necessarily about, like, I want people to see this. It's like, I like having like a memory that stays somewhere.
A time capsule.
Yeah, I like that. And maybe she wants to have a time capsule of when she's feeling young and beautiful and hot.
Yeah.
And who wouldn't want that?
Right.
Public record of your hotness. I think that's great.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take another break, answer some more questions on the other side of these massages.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we have returned.
Yeah.
Can the way a person texts be a deal breaker?
Ooh. Let's hear.
Okay. Steve Jobs writes, I'm a 25-year-old Canadian male, and I found myself in a sticky situation. There's this girl at work who I've been eyeing for a couple weeks now, and after telling a coworker that she's pretty, word got around to her, and she came around and talked to me, which is great, right?
Yeah.
I thought so too at first. This happened on a Friday, and we only had enough time to talk in person for a little while before the weekend came, and then we switched texting / messenger. I find the way she talks through texts may possibly say a lot about her, and I can't quite explain it. For one, she literally only compliments me, and that's pretty much the only thing she says, like how hot I am and how sweet and cute I am. Oh. It's really flattering, but I'd like to talk about something else for a change, like, I don't know, getting to know her would be nice, or talking about what she does for fun or what her goals in life are, literally anything other than how attractive I am. She also talks in run-on sentences and has a lot of grammatical errors, and it's just a big turnoff for me. It's Tuesday night right now, and she called in sick Monday and Tuesday, so I haven't been able to talk to her in person since Friday, and all I know is I forget what she's like in person versus what she's like via text. So my question is, do you think the way someone speaks to you via text can say a lot about them? Has someone ever texted you or messaged you in a way that's been a deal breaker? I probably sound like an asshole, but if I add any more context, then I'll have written you guys a novel. Mm. Thanks, guys.
I think it's too early to tell. Too early to tell.
Because you had one good conversation, mm-hmm. one bad text conversation.
I mean, on its face, it basically sounds great. The girl that you had a crush on at work is texting you and saying that you're hot.
Yeah.
That's not a problem.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
The run-on sentences, I think being a little too gung-ho mm-hmm. and kind of like, I don't know, all over the place would be a red flag to me. But at the same time, like I said, I think it's too early to tell. I think the way somebody texts cannot be a deal breaker. You need to marry the way they text with how they are in real life.
Right, because most of the time you'll be with them IRL, yeah. not just in the metaverse.
And I think also people tend to like find a common ground and a similar language eventually.
Right.
I don't think she'll forever just talk about how hot and cute you are. She's probably just like feeling excited that you have a crush on her too. And,
yeah.
you know, that feels good. Maybe her communication style is just like she likes those words of affirmation instead of like the get to know you right now.
Maybe she's nervous.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
It could be the shampoo.
Yeah, it probably is.
You know, a lot of times these companies, not to get like weird galaxy brain on you or conspiracy
it's
theories,
definitely,
they
yeah.
control your
Don't think it's galaxy brain, by the way, because galaxy brain I feel like implies like...
Like I'm know. Through the looking glass on
yeah.
some of this stuff.
And you have like a good take or smart.
But think about how close you are to your brain when you're massaging an oil into it.
Yeah.
Now think about if they were to use that to control your thoughts. Oh, how would okay. they do it? Would they go through pills, perhaps? Would they mm-hmm. go through literally shampooing?
Yeah.
Like so you're massaging.
So like
a
L'Oreal
message.
Is making you a zombie is what you're saying.
Not a zombie. But a Republican.
I'm stupid.
At the very least a Democrat.
What's the difference?
Thank you. Do you have a way of texting that's different than your speaking voice, or is it pretty much the same thing?
I think it's pretty much the same thing, but I will say I'm a one sentence enter, another sentence enter, and I'm like good with like a block, like, you know, kind of like rapid fire, a few in a row.
Yeah.
And what I don't like seeing is when somebody texts me with the paragraphs, like. Sentence, enter, paragraph.
Oh, wow.
Like,
I've line breaks with
line
the same
breaks.
Message.
Yeah, I don't like a line break. It feels like I'm reading an email. So, I bet if I was talking to somebody with a bunch of line breaks, I wouldn't say anything. But it would be like I wouldn't enjoy texting them. And I feel like in the beginning of a relationship, you do need to enjoy the text banter.
How's your emoji game recently?
Pretty solid. They just dropped some new emojis. There's
the salute.
There's the salute. My new favorite one is like the
I can barely look.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Like
that's
when
a really
somebody
good
texts
one.
You something shameful or salacious.
Yeah. What are your let's compare recent emojis.
Okay. A lot of mine are kind of flags you don't really recognize.
Interesting.
So like the Algerian flag is my most used one.
And then a thumbs down. Interesting.
But a lot of it is sort of controlled by my Pert Plus dandruff shampoo, I think.
I have the surfer dude.
Oh, the Shaka?
The Shaka. I have smiling. I feel like this is my entire life, actually. My top row. Shaka, smiling with a sweat drop, smiling with a tear, happy, praise hands. And then the eyes watering, like I'm going to cry because I'm really happy.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah, that's one.
That's
yeah,
a good one. I've been using that one a lot. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed this one? It's sort of unnecessary. It's a giant pint glass that's spilling a thin layer of syrup onto the ground for some reason.
Fascinating.
Use that one a lot. whenever I type damn, it gives me this beaver. So I'll sort of send a beaver instead of saying damn.
I would say damn. That's good.
So like beaver Daniel, damn Daniel.
Yeah.
Like I said, flag of a country you've never heard of, flag of a country you've never heard
put
of.
Put your phone away.
WC.
Watch closet.
Who says no to that?
I guess I don't like it.
This one is sort of the Chinese yuan going up in price. What else do I got? Oh!
Forget I asked.
Elevator emoji.
Yeah.
Good. Three people going like up and down. Mm-hmm.
A directory.
DM.
Good.
And last but not yeast.
Is it bread?
NG.
NG. Not going to lie.
Yes, exactly. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Different emojis for different needs, mate.
Yeah.
I told you about my theory about
Your shampoo is seeping into your head.
Yeah. A lot of it is 2-for-1. So it's like it's conditioner, but it also makes me think certain ways. this person.
It's conditioning.
Yeah. Mental conditioning / hair conditioner. Don't jump to conclusions. It's been one weekend. Relax, dude.
Right. I think it can create a red flag, but not a deal breaker. So proceed with caution.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of red flags, it's another
emoji.
One of my pretty popular one.
Good.
Whenever like someone like sends something to me, I'm just like, whoa.
That's a red flag.
Do not send that over text.
Very Formula
paper
One,
trail.
Actually.
Really?
Red flags.
What does it entail?
That's when there's a crash and they have to stop the race.
They have to stop the race?
Yeah, there's different flags for different moments. Mm. If a car is in a wreck on the track, then it's going to be a red flag situation.
And then what do they do?
I think a red flag means there was a crash. I don't know if that means stop the race, but then there's like a safety car. The car comes out, the drivers can't go faster than the safety car, so everybody kind of slows down to make sure that everything's okay. The track gets cleared, then they can go in. But sometimes if the wreck is bad enough, they have to fully stop the race. Everyone goes into the pit, and then they do a second start.
Do they have to go into the pit if over the course of an entire race, if you never need a pit stop, is that considered good?
I think you actually get a penalty if you don't go at least once. But it's considered – I mean – I think there's different strategies. You can be on harder tires that last longer, or you can be on softer tires that are faster but wear out faster. So you have to like pit twice.
Yeah. I mean, I play Mario Kart, so I sort of understand the differences between
tire degradation.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then some of them are just like gumballs, so like that gives you better drift.
Exactly. You get the banana drift, you get the lightning bolt. Sometimes if you're in last, you can get the bomb that kind of...
Wow, the blue shell that sort of snakes its way to the front and destroys the person. Yeah. In Formula One, are you allowed to block that with an air horn? Or is that just on the Rainbow Road?
The air horn went off last year in Bahrain.
Really?
Yeah.
And that sort of exploded the blue shell.
That's right.
That's really cool. I'm actually interested in picking this up as a hobby since
now.
I know a lot of people are into it via that Netflix show.
Yeah, I think DK actually races for McLaren.
Really?
That's right.
Diddy or Donkey?
Donkey.
That's right. I was going to say
Diddy's on Alfa Romeo.
Diddy's on Alfa Romeo. And doesn't that say it all, folks? All right. That's it. Take it easy, I guess. That's our response to anybody that emails us, I guess.
Yeah. Relax.
Relax.
Everything's going to be fine.
Time to relax. Remember that Offspring CD? That could be on my early 90s mix.
There you go.
Yeah. Time to relax.
I don't remember it, but it makes sense.
Okay. Thank you for everybody who's been writing in. The email address for your theme songs or your question is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Yep. Yep.
Don't know if we mentioned this, but this is being recorded as a video. You can watch us now every week, whether it's us in the same room, looks really nice, or us via Zoom. There's a YouTube channel for that, If I Were You Show. And we're also making videos on our Patreon still, so you can watch that. A lot of us if you want it.
Patreon.com/JA.
That's right. And if you want less of us, you can just sort of finish this episode and call it a career.
Yeah.
You can. We'll be back, of course, next week, as we always are. Mm-hmm. The opening theme song, same as the closing. Let's see if I can remember it. It's a good mental exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Death Cab for Cutie.
Parody.
Parody.
Wasn't it John?
Yes, John Erickson. John Erickson.
Mm, okay.
Let's hear that one again. Thank you to John. And keep those coming as well. Love to hear a Bum Bum song parody. Absolutely savage.
Please.
Who's to say what we will put our bum on in it?
That's right.
We'll be back soon. Thanks, everybody.
A HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
And why
Live.
Don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Nili Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening. We'll see you at the show or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live and we'll see you there.
All right. Bye.